So then after I've analyzed that data, decided which niches are really important, now I can go and I can do surveys. Sometimes I can go onto surveymonkey.com. And you can do a survey. Maybe you want to buy some of the traffic to your sales copy when it's done. And then ask them some questions. So you can create a survey and see. You can find out information on what their buying behavior is. You also want, you want to find out that your product is viable and that people are actually going to buy it. So you want to find out some of that information. So sometimes I use SurveyMonkey and sometimes I don't, depending on the situation. Here's the Google Groups. Another way to validate your market. You can find out what people are saying within your industry by going to Google Groups. And then typing in these search terms. So you'll see at the top of Google, you got a little button here that says groups. Type in whatever you want. It'll show you all sorts of different information. It's like a forum. People talk about products and services. If you come across a bunch of competitors, type in the competitors and add the word sucks and see what people are saying about your competitors. You can use that in your copy. That's why we need to get all this information. We want to find out where the demand is, what the biggest concern is. We want to find out what our competitors are doing and that what and see if we can outdo them. And then we want to have lots of testimonials and lots of value as we're going through the process of writing the copy. So doing this market research properly is a huge way to go about it. So at this point, we compare against competition. What do you like about their site's marketing message? So I'll look at the top sites in a specific group that I found and see what my competition is. What do I like about their message? Are they focused on what the biggest demand is? So if I got a very large niche of problems, it's main one problem for all those words. Now when I go look at the competition for any of those words, I can see, are they focused on that actual problem? If I put my website here, will it outdo them? Right? How many, I mean, people need three or four different sites of reading a lot of information before they really know what they're looking for. If they find you and amongst them and they look at them and they look at you, what are they going to, can you put something in there that's going to outdo them? These are very, very important considerations. I mean, if you go out there and write all this copy, create a product, stick it online, maybe you're overpriced than the next guy. Maybe you don't offer as much value as the next guy. Wouldn't it be important to know that stuff before you just jump online? Does that make sense? Okay. So you also want to look at, how well they're doing it. You can look at Alexa. You can find out how much traffic they're getting to their website. and go, use Google and Yahoo because they're the top search engines. The next is to prepare your solutions. In business, we always want to have a USP, which means a unique selling proposition. Anybody give me an example of a unique selling proposition that they have for their business? Does anyone in here have a business? We had a bunch of business owners before. We don't know what a unique selling proposition. That's how do you find a unique selling proposition? You must look at your competition and say, what is different about me than them? What is unique that I can state that when people will read this quick statement, it will separate me from my competition? Do you feel it? This is an important part of writing your copy. If you don't have a unique selling proposition, it's hard to really sum up everything you do in a quick sentence and outdo everybody by making yourself unique. So you have to think about what that is. One of the case studies I'm going to show you today is a law site, BC Disability Law. Their USP is, we won't settle for anything less than fair, and neither should you. Okay, that's a USP. That's just a statement that sums up them. Okay, that is unique. So now I want to show you guys how to write copy. First of all, this is what I'm going to give you a marketing equation. This equation is used in all copy. It can be used for short copy. If you have a business card, it should be like this on your business card. If you have a brochure, it should be like this on your brochure. If you have a yellow page ad, it should be like this. If you have any print material going out, it needs to follow this exact equation in order for it to work. Okay? And this is based on over 15 years of market research and testing. So first of all, step number one is called an interrupt. This is getting qualified prospects to pay attention is done with headlines. Okay? So that's the very first stage, is the interrupt. Second stage is engage. Getting those who do not pay attention, who do pay attention to remain interested. This is done with a subheadline. So, going back to our market research for a second. We do all that market research. We get thousands of keywords. We come up with 400 keyword phrases that mean the same thing. So we can establish that these 400 have a specific information that they want or a specific problem or concern that they want. You need to now put that in a headline that will interrupt them and then a subheadline that will engage them to reading the rest of your copy. Does that make sense? Awesome. Step three is to educate. This is not selling. This is educating. Giving enough information to make the prospect feel that he or she can make the best decision. This is done through body copy, text, and evidence. So body copy information in your ad. It could be on your web page. It could be anywhere. And then evidence. What kind of evidence is going to prove, going to back that up? Okay, so that's step number three. Not sales info, education info. So step four is the offer. Getting the prospect to take action based on information given. And you want to remove the resistance in an offer as much as you possibly can. If you go, wow, I got this great product. It's $2,957. A lot of people aren't going to buy it the first time they come to their website. It's too much money. They don't know who you are. Maybe they've read a whole bunch about you. But it's a lot of money to start with. You want to make it easy for them. Maybe you want to get them to that point. You're going to have to sell them something or give them something free first and then sell them some things and move them up the line until they're ready to spend that kind of money. So this is the marketing equation, and it's used for short copy, which is business to business. If you've got a website that is strictly for business to business consumers, then you're going to use short copy, which is everything within the fold of the page, just like an ad. You only have so much space on that ad. This is the system you need to use, okay? That's business to business. On a website, it's business to business. In advertising, this is done no matter what. This is the process in any ad. Okay, and I'm going to show you a bunch of examples of them. I'm not going to go really, really slow because I am restricted by time, but I will give you some solutions so you can get all this information anyway. Okay, here's an effective interrupt. We use headlines based on hot buttons to interrupt the prospect. Hot button-based scenarios are received, and the emotional response is triggered. So in other words, the headline must hit them in the heart. If it doesn't hit them in the heart emotionally, you're not going to have as big an effect. So how do we do that? I'll show you. So when the prospect immediately searches for additional clarifying information, he's looking for your subheadline. That's going to help him continue to read. Now they're ready to be engaged. Your client's hot buttons. So what I want to do, you're all going to do a little exercise with me right now. Just on your paper, I'd like you to write down, okay, think about whatever product or service that you would like to promote. It could be an affiliate product. It doesn't really matter. It could be an ebook. It could be something from that exercise you guys did this morning. I just want you to take about a minute and just write down any frustrations or annoyances or problems that people may have with that industry. Think about what the biggest concern is that people want information about before they're ready to buy. Okay, think about that and write it down. If anybody has one they'd like to share with me, I'd like to use it as an example. If anybody has, anybody would like to use that. Does anyone have any of these, a business or product they want to start? I'm just going to pick somebody. How about yourself, Al? You ever brought up something you want to run online, like you've got some sort of product or service?
One of the products that I want to promote is a product called, it helps people sleep. It's a natural product.
Perfect. So what's the biggest problem in that industry that people are having? The biggest problem is I'm having problems sleeping, right?
Yeah.
So are you frustrated and tired and wishing that you could sleep at night or something along those lines? That would be a headline that goes along with that. So when you're thinking about it, you want to think about what the biggest problem is and think about how you can hit them emotionally in the heart. So how can I say, you know, are you tired? Are you tired of not sleeping? Or would you like to sleep better at night? How can you say that that's going to hit them in the heart and have them emotionally attach themselves to that statement? Can you think of one? We're going to help. Can anybody help him?
Are you tired of being tired?
Are you tired of being tired? Nice. Right to the point. Yeah, I'm tired of being tired. Because that's what the person answers. Yeah, I'm tired of being tired. I'm looking for a way that I can actually sleep at night. So that's what they're looking for. And then you go through with the subheadline, and then like your little story you just told me, there's a credibility clause, which I'm going to talk to you guys about. And then that's the process of selling, okay? So you want to think about your hot buttons, because those hot buttons will trigger an emotional response in their heart. If it doesn't trigger that emotional response, it's not going to be as effective, okay? So here's a bad interrupt. You're looking to grow wealth. You're looking to protect it. Does that hit you guys in the heart? Does it affect you in any way? Not really. Here's another one. Finally, a hotel fit for Texas is here. What does that say to you? Okay, you're trying to pick a hotel, and there's about 50 of them in the block, you know, when you get off the airplane or wherever you go, and you're trying to find a hotel. What is your main concern? Sleep, convenience, price. What else? Safety, location, enough room. Enough room, comfort, lots of little details. If you do your market research, you're going to find which one is the biggest concern. And you communicate that, right? Don't say, finally, a hotel fit for Texas. It just states to me that it's big. It doesn't do anything else for me. Okay? So here, let's look at a good one. To people who would like to invest their money but don't know where to get started. That relates with a lot of people. Okay, is that you? Are you a person that would like to invest your money but you don't know where to get started and so many people are giving you different advice? That relates to people. And you think, yeah, that's me. So then you read on, right? Here's another one by the same company. If your stockbroker goofs, he could kill your retirement fund. How to protect yourself takes just 42 minutes. That makes a lot of sense. If your stockbroker goofs, you'll lose a lot of money. I mean, obviously, you could lose everything. One mistake. My dad as a broker that he's worked with for I guess, the last 20 years that he's been doing investing. And last year, this lady who swore up and down, gave her nothing but great advice, screwed up. Lost half his retirement fund. Half of it. And he was freaking out. And he took them to court because he told them to sell and they didn't sell. Big nightmare. She wanted him to hold on to it. She thought it was going to work. But somebody that was, you know, makes one mistake. So you got to, that's the type of thing that people can relate to. So this headline is meant to hit you in the heart. Okay? So step two is engage. We're talking about the sub headline here. Once you've struck that emotional chord with the headline, you must now engage the reader in the ad. So headlines or sub-headlines. Sub-headlines promise the reader information that will help facilitate their decision-making process. So this is sort of an emotional thing to go through. First of all, you got your headline, sub-headline. So you want to be able to make sure there's something positive in there that promises that you're going to get it. So tired of being tired? Find out how I found a way to sleep soundly at night and blah, 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 blah. I'm not the greatest at coming up with these. I need to think about them and get really involved at each time. But that's the idea. So if you can't get them through that headline and subheadline, you're not going to get them to the educate part. Okay? So here, educate bad. Or engage bad. Around the world, the future of visual technology looked great with ViewSonic. What does that do for you? Does that hit you emotionally?
No.
And there isn't even a subheadline there that engages us. Okay? Here's one. Computerized. Deliver information system solutions. Didn't hit me emotionally. It didn't even want to make me read on. It's simply that we're here and this is how much we are. That's what everybody does. Here's a good one. Scream for $30 or crap your pants for under 10. Judging by the response, it's got you guys involved, right? All right? And then they've got their Engage, which is six new hair-raising attractions at one location. Come see the best, forget the rest. So they're engaging you. Oh, six locations. You know, so they're getting involved, so you want to read on and find out more about it. It's a good one, isn't it? This is one that resonated really well with me. Anybody here have a leather couch at home? Anyone have a leather couch? Okay. What did it take to buy the leather couch? You know, you go to one place, and it's like $150. And you go to the next place, it's $10,000. And you're like, they're both leather, right? What's the difference? This is a great one. You can spend 11 minutes learning how to buy leather furniture or spend the next 7 years wishing you had. That is an awesome interrupt and engage. And I think about that every time now. Every time I look at a leather couch, I think about this statement because it makes so much sense, right?